The fight to open or not to open the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling has been going on since President Jimmy Carter signed the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act into law in 1980. ANWR, as locals refer to it, was actually established by Congress much earlier than that under President Dwight Eisenhower, who approved protection for the area on Northeast Alaska's coast in 1960. President Carter's legislation expanded the protected wilderness area, but with a provision that would allow oil exploration on a portion of the refuge called the 1002 area. That 1.5 million acre portion stretches along the coastal plain of Alaska between the Brooks Range and the Beaufort Sea. But only Congress can decide on whether to open the coastal plain to onshore drilling.
The oil era for Alaska is not over.
That's Kara Moriarty, the president of the Alaska Oil and Gas Association. The latest effort to wring black gold out of the Alaska tundra began earlier last month when an Alaska senator inserted a measure into a Senate budget resolution that would open ANWR to oil and gas exploration. Senator Lisa Murkowski's office did not answer requests for comment for this story, but she is on record as extolling the benefits of drilling in ANWR.
If we were able to access this small area within the coastal plain, that we can gain access to an estimated 10.3 billion barrels of oil. 10.3 billion barrels of oil. If we produce oil at that rate of 1 million barrels a day, it'll last almost 30 years.
Murkowski, who chairs the Senate's Energy and Natural Resources Committee, has proposed legislation to open the refuge to drilling every year since she was elected. A last-minute amendment by Senator Maria Cantwell of Washington State to remove Murkowski's most recent pro-drilling language was narrowly defeated. But New Mexico Senator Tom Udall and his counterpart in Massachusetts, Senator Ed Markey, say they will fight the ANWR drilling plan. At a press conference on Wednesday, Udall denounced the measure, saying that it is only a plan to raise money to make rich Republicans richer.
It's an expensive place to drill. There's no infrastructure, and there's a lot of uncertainty. The public is overwhelmingly against drilling there, and future Congresses would try to block it. So there's no way this proposal will come close to making the $1 billion Republicans need to raise.
Udall was joined in his comments against ANWR drilling by Senator Markey.
The Republican tax plan is all about massive handouts to the 1% and huge corporations while doing nothing for working and middle-class Americans. But if that wasn't bad enough, they're trying to offset the $1.5 trillion in tax cuts for the super rich by raising $1 billion in revenue from drilling in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. And you don't have to be a mathematician to know that that fiscal plan doesn't make sense, nor does it raise sufficient dollars.
How did ANWR drilling get entwined with Republican tax strategy in the first place? In August of this year, the Interior Department proposed changes to a rule that limited oil and gas exploration in ANWR to the 1980s. And the U.S. Senate in September of this year unveiled its budget resolution for 2018. The budget resolution is essentially a guideline for spending in the fiscal year. And in response to the budget resolution instructing the Senate to reduce the federal budget by $1 billion over 10 years, Senator Murkowski said in a statement, quote, "I'm pleased. This provides an excellent opportunity for our committee to raise $1 billion in federal revenues while creating jobs and strengthening our nation's long-term energy security." Murkowski had her ANWR legislation all ready to go. So what does all this have to do with New Mexico? Senator Udall says it's all in the family, that the expansion of the refuge under the 1980 legislation was done with the leadership of his uncle, then-Senator Mo Udall. Udall also charges the attempt to remove the protections against ANWR oil development was made without any consultation with other senators or with Alaska Native tribes.
And this time it was a sneak attack, done with a backdoor budget measure in the dead of night. My Uncle Mo was a fighter for public lands and for the little guy, and he would be mad as hell if he were here today, mad that we are trying to sell off our national heritage to benefit the richest 1% of Americans, people who make $733,000 a year and up.
And Udall and Markey say the plan is not only about tax cuts for the rich, but it depends heavily on the U.S. export of crude oil to China, our biggest trade competitor. Markey says the Republican tax plan is a scam.
So we're going to battle this as hard as we can. It's just another indication of the incredible hollow nature of the Republican tax proposal. It's nothing more than a Trojan horse to have a huge giveaway to the oil industry while undermining our environment and, ultimately, our national economic competitiveness.
Markey says the plan is only a payout to big oil interests. According to Markey, it would need to bring in 10 to 100 times the historical average of what oil companies pay to drill in Alaska to be successful. There is also the issue of damage to the environment. Endangered polar bears roam the Tenochu area, and it is the calving ground for the porcupine caribou herd. That herd represents life itself to the Gwich'in Indians who depend on the herd for food. Bernadette Dementev is with the Gwich'in Steering Committee.
The Gwich'in Nation has over 8,000 people that still to this day survive off the porcupine caribou herd. They are 80% of our diet. For over 20,000 years, we have had a cultural and spiritual connection to these animals. They are the main focus of our identity. They defined who we are as Gwich'in. You can understand our high concern and anxiety about the threat to the caribou herd and what our future holds. Oil drilling in the Arctic Refuge is a direct attack on the Gwich'in Nation and our way of life. The coastal plain is known to my people as Ezikwatsan Gwandaigotlit, the sacred place where life begins. This is a human rights issue, and our human rights should be respected.
But Senator Murkowski says today's drilling methods are more environmentally friendly.
The technology that we are using today is not the technology that my father had visited. The world has changed so dramatically up in the North Slope area, and this will be our chance to share that with people.
The proposal still has a long way to go. Again, Kara Moriarty with the Alaska Oil and Gas Association.
Well, I think what the Energy Committee is actually considering is not drilling in the 1002 area of ANWR, but instead considering whether the Department of Interior should hold a lease sale in the 1002 area of ANWR. And holding a lease sale and allowing drilling are two different things. There's a big difference in our mind between instructing the Department of Interior to hold a lease sale versus allowing drilling to occur.
And in today's oil economy, $50 a barrel prices may not be a big incentive for oil companies to head for Alaska. But Moriarty says oil companies think long term.
We've actually had an increase in production in Alaska over the last 2 years, and we're on track to have a third year of a 1-2% increase. And I think that when a company evaluates a play like the 1002 area in ANWR, they very much see that as a long-term play.
Either way, Udall says he won't give up the fight.
Well, the first strategy is defeat the tax package. There are going to be hearings, as you know, in the committees, and there will be other votes in the committees. And then there will be final votes on dealing with this situation. And so we're not going to give up, and we're going to fight every step of the way.
Senator Lisa Murkowski's Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee holds a hearing on the proposal to open ANWR to drilling today, Thursday, November 2nd. For KSFR News, I'm Ellen Lockyer.